That same day, the day of the resurrection, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened here in the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. He did powerful miracles, but our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said. Then Jesus said to them, 'You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly presented and predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering into glory?' Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. By this time they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they begged him, 'Stay with us, stay the night with us, since it is getting late.' So he went home with them, and as they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly, their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and at that moment he disappeared. Then they said to each other, 'Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?' And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. What a weekend it had been for the followers of Jesus. It seemed as if the bottom had fallen out of their lives. All their hopes and dreams had vanished on that Friday when Jesus had died on the cross. Everything happened so fast. Early on Sunday morning, the women went out to the tomb with spices prepared to anoint the dead body of Christ. And they rushed back to tell the disciples the news. There was nobody there, and we saw angels who talked to us. But the disciples dismissed it as hysteria. His band of followers was now leaderless and falling apart, and two of them were already on their way home. The very afternoon of the report of the empty tomb, two of the discouraged and frustrated believers, Cleopas and an unidentified companion, set out for their home in Emmaus, utterly defeated, throwing in the towel. On their way, they met a stranger. He was actually the risen Lord, but they didn't recognize him. And one of the beautiful things about this story is we know, as readers, what was happening, what was going on, the things they did not know. And the encounter between Jesus and those two discouraged disciples on the road to Emmaus is one of the most vivid of the resurrection experience. Now, note with me three things that happen that discouragement does in our lives. Here are these two disciples, these two followers of Jesus. They've given up. They're on their way home discouraged. And first of all, discouragement can cause us to walk away from the fellowship of believers. Maybe they just saw it as walking home, but in reality, they were moving away from the fellowship of the other believers. When Christians allow themselves to become preoccupied with their dashed hopes and frustrated plans, they often wander away from the strength that they had in the company of believers. The strength that they had in coming together. That's why the writer of Hebrews said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. When we feel like the psalmist did in the psalm we just read, we need to be together. We need to be with believers and find our strength in that company. These disciples didn't recognize Jesus. Perhaps it was their preoccupation with their own disappointment, but maybe it was the Lord's way of making them verbalize how they felt, verbalize their feelings, so He could lead them to solve their problems by seeing the truth for themselves. They'd forgotten Isaiah 42, verses 2 and 3. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Discouragement can cause us to walk away from the fellowship of believers. Secondly, discouragement can cause us to live in the past. As Jesus joins them, they are deep in an intense discussion. Luke uses three different words to describe it: conversed, reasoned, which suggests a strong debate, and conversation, which is like throwing a ball back and forth, sharing ideas and thoughts, bewilderments, disappointments, as they remembered the recent events in light of the death of Jesus. Now, why did Jesus draw near to two obscure disciples? We can take heart today from the fact that Jesus often made His most remarkable appearances to the least remarkable people. Here we see two people who are never heard of before, never heard of again, and yet Jesus joins them and talks with them, telling us there are no unimportant people. I remember when Bonnie and I were in the Church of God, there was a preacher who had a lollipop sermon. It's one of those sermons that we preachers have. We drag it out and preach it because it touches us and we believe it will touch the congregation. And one of them preached God's little people. And the other one, who was more of a rival of the first than a brother of the first, preached a sermon, and usually after the first one had done it, God has no little people. Well, He really doesn't. And here are two people that we see once and never see again in Scripture. No unimportant people to Jesus. So He follows them. He walks with them. And He allows them to share their deepest disappointments, their hurts, their angers, their frustrations. He knew their hearts, He knew their needs, but still He gave them the opportunity to pour out their confusion and disappointment. He's not changed. He'll draw near to us and listen to us as we tell him what troubles us. Cleopas is amazed. And with great irony says, "You have to be the only one in this whole area that does know what happened." And Jesus responds to Cleopas by asking, and you can almost see the twinkle in his eye when he asks, "What things?" At that moment, they were living a past faith. They list all the things that Jesus was. He was Jesus the Nazarene. He was a prophet. He was mighty in deeds. He was mighty in words. He was loved by the common people. He was hated by the religious leaders. He was crucified. And they summed up their condition very neatly when they said, "But we had hoped that it had been he who would redeem Israel." The saddest death of all is a death of hope. They had hoped, but now the flame was extinguished. And when they said, "Certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us." Now that word "astonished" that Luke writes is the same word that Mark writes of Jesus' family when they said, "He is out of his mind." That's what they thought of the testimony of the women who came back and said, "The tomb's empty. We saw angels who said he's risen." We were astonished. They're out of their minds. When they did not find his body, they came saying they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive, and certain of us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. That is the discouragement of the past. And thirdly, discouragement can cause us to question God's care. Jesus' response is unexpected. "Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." When he says they're slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken, it indicates that they're being selective. They believe part of the word, but not all of the word. And discouragement happens when we think that God should do something based on our faulty knowledge of his word, and he doesn't do it, and we get discouraged and think God has let us down. But the problem is not with God, but with us. Jesus' words are not meant to harm or insult, but to challenge their belief. Is it true that God cares about you? You remember 1 Peter 5:7? "Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about what happens to you." One translation says, "Cast, throw them, toss them at him, for he cares for you." Is it true that God can provide for you? You remember Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." If we find ourselves hurting and despairing and find that Scripture does not speak to our situation, it's caused by one of two things. Either we don't know the Word, we don't know it well enough, or else we don't believe what it says to us. Jesus showed them all that the New Testament spoke of him, and he said, "Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures concerning himself. He'd have gone clear back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where there's a talk about the serpent and biting the Messiah's heel and the Messiah crushing the serpent's head. And going on through to Isaiah 53, about the suffering servant. Who's believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And then to the pierced one in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. And then to Malachi chapter 3, the message of the covenant, the messenger of the covenant. And Jesus introduces himself again to these disciples, these discouraged disciples through the Old Testament. And as they reach Emmaus, as they get close to their end of their destination, this stranger appears to be traveling on, and they say, it's night, the day's over, the night's coming, stay with us. It's dangerous to travel at night in those days. And they said, stay with us, abide with us. And so he goes with them, and they set down a table, and Luke says Jesus played the part of the host as he broke the bread at the beginning of the meal. He took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us as he walked with us along the way and while he opened the scriptures to us? The Lord gave these disciples a passion where there'd only been pain. The result was they had to tell someone what happened. That discouraged walk from Jerusalem all the way to Emmaus is suddenly forgotten. And now it's a joyous run back to Jerusalem with renewed strength and encouragement. With their eyes wide open, they're filled with joy and excitement. They return to Jerusalem to give witness to the disciples and to bring them the assurance that they needed. As Luke tells the story of these two discouraged disciples on the road to Emmaus, we cannot help but identify with their pain, because we too are pilgrims on a journey through life. We too despair of life circumstances from time to time. We too lose heart when our expectations come to a tragic end. But remember, every trial is an opportunity to discover what God wants us to see. Like the two on the road to Emmaus, you do not travel alone. God is with you. We just must be willing to see Him. And this morning in the breaking of bread, may your heart burn with fresh passion for the risen Christ. Amen.